This podcast replay is brought to you by Sloman's Home Security, where you can get a free doorbell camera. The first 40 Big O listeners call 1-800-ALARM-ME and get a free doorbell camera with the installation of your Sloman Shield, and it includes an LED touchscreen, motion detector, three contacts, and backup battery. Call 1-800-ALARM-ME. Protect your family. Call 1-800-ALARM-ME.
Out of rights. There we go. I actually just posted the news on social media. Obviously, you guys got to get it first, because those of you that listen to the show, you usually get all the scoops and all the information first on what's going on with the Dolphins or anything else that I end up finding out about. As always, you can check it out here on the show. Those of you that are veterans of the show, you know how it goes. All right. All right. Let's see. There we go. All right. Anyway, you got any questions, comments, insults, send them in. Complaints, send them in. As always, appreciate all of you out there. Don't forget, you can make a donation through Cash App or Venmo at Cash Big O Show. That is Cash Big O Show, Cash App or Venmo. All right. There we go. There we go. Some Kobe guy retweeted. I put breaking news: Miami Dolphins and wide receiver Odell Beckham are still talking. No signing imminent. And Kobe guy, who covers the Panthers, he goes, my dating life. All right. There we go. Keep you guys updated on it. That's about it. We'll see what happens. Hey, Sean, put a poll question for if the Dolphins sign Odell Beckham to a reasonable contract, is it the right gamble? Yes or no? That's it. If the Dolphins sign Odell Beckham to a reasonable contract, is it worth the gamble? Yes or no? And let's see how the folks vote. I have a feeling the no's are going to win, and maybe win big. And again, I can't blame anybody that says, I don't want the guy. I totally understand, man. I totally understand. I get it. Oh, have you seen Dune 2? Well, Dune 1 was torture enough. So do I have to watch Dune 2? Did you think Dune 1 was a great movie? Because I did not. So I'm not sure, because most of the remakes do suck. Why should I watch it? Is it that good? I don't know. I saw Dune when it first came out, and if I remember correctly, it was nothing. I was not impressed with it whatsoever. So I'm not sure. You're asking me, I'm not sure, but you got to tell me if it's any good or if it's worth it. Shout out to Oakland University for beating Kentucky. Well, Kentucky's not Kentucky anymore. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, the dude was lighting it up. That's for sure. I forgot the guy's name. I don't keep up with college basketball enough to know who the freak keeps up with Oakland basketball. I don't even think the people in Oakland keep up with Oakland basketball. Big O, what do you think about what the Dolphins should do with the third wide receiver position? Well, they've already done a little bit of that with Berrios, and then the OBJ one I have no problem with. So, James Gleason says, personally, I would rather have Jarvis Landry. Oh, God, no. Jarvis Landry can't run, bro. Jarvis Landry wasn't fast enough for McDaniel's offense in the first place. When he got drafted as a rookie, he wasn't fast enough. How's he going to be in this Landry stuff? James, I'm sorry. You know, if you're sensitive, I'm sorry. This is king size stupid shit. Okay. I know my man Omar started it, and I love Omar to death. I know he's friends with them, and so that's why his judgment is completely clouded. And the fact that you guys have been like duped to follow this doesn't say much about you, James. Seriously, like, it lacks all football IQ to talk about Jarvis Landry. All football IQ. There is not one intelligent piece of that statement, move, signing, thought, whatever. Okay? Seriously. Anybody that wants to sign Jarvis Landry, basically, you don't know what the hell you're talking about. Omar, I get it, bro. Him, he's clouded because he's got friendships. So, you know, you lose all credibility like that. If you're just going to go by your friends, you're fucked. Oh, I'm friends with Jarvis Landry, so I have to go publicly to defend him. You're fucked. You're fucked. You know? Just like I think he said to bring in Brent Grimes, too. You know, a 40-year-old corner. Come on, dude. Come on, bro. And I love Brent Grimes, but I got nothing personal against Brent Grimes or Miko. I got along great with Miko. I know most people, dinner or whatever, I have zero issues with Miko. And I know she could be a load and all that other stuff, but he's 40, bro. Enough already. You know, you got to leave the past in the past already. And you can't allow your... If you're in the media, you can't allow friendships to cloud you. You know, you just can't do that because it will ruin your opinion. And Jarvis Landry is, that's fucking stupid. Seriously. I mean, this is why this show is not for everybody. And I understand that, and I don't have a problem with that. But I'm not going to dick around here and, you know, handle it with kid gloves and this and that. And no, I'll just straight out tell you, you don't know what the hell you're talking about. Okay? To your face, here, whatever. It doesn't. I love Omar to death. I'll tell him he doesn't know what the hell he's talking about. Okay? This is crap, Jarvis Landry. Seriously, this is why we have a lot of people in this country and in this world that get duped with all kinds of shit. This is a great example. Because too many of you don't even think for yourselves. So far, the yeses are winning 85 to 50. Well, I'm a little shocked. Anyway. I thought the Dune movie was overrated. Ray, the first one or the second one? Because I didn't like the first one, okay? I kind of felt like, can I get these 2 hours back? You know what it was? It was like watching the first two episodes of Mr. and Mrs. Smith. What is it, on Amazon or on? Bro, that shit sucked. That Asian woman has no business being a lead actress. Childish Gambino did all right, but nothing. I was zero impressed with Mr. and Mrs. Smith. It was like, I looked at my wife and I said, give me these 2 hours back. So that's how I felt for Dune. That's why when I saw Dune 2, I was like, no thanks. I don't need to see that shit again. Dune with Denis Villeneuve. It was awesome. Dune 2 is getting crazy, crazy praise. All right. Well, you and I are different. I did not look at Doom as awesome. So maybe we have a different style and different demand. If you didn't like Dune, don't waste your time on your money on Dune 2. That's what Tony says. James Gleason is Omar's burner account. Seriously, the Landry shit is just, it's just stupid shit, bro. It's just stupid shit. Yeah, just wild takes. That's all it is. But wait, man, that's what gets hits. Just the wilder you get, the better it is for our business. No worries, Big O, not sensitive. I never heard Omar express that. Yeah, well, he's the one that started that. Alf says, let's bring back Irving Fryer. Perfect fit, just as realistic as Jarvis Landry. Exactly. F. Landry, he left us for more. I wouldn't want him back even if he was worthy. I get the fan stuff, but if you're worthy, I want you back. But it's not. It's ridiculous. You know? What's it called? What about Albert Wilson? Yeah, I got tired of hearing about that from the get-go. If we're going to bring back dinosaurs, let's go out and get Rashad Jones. people were absolutely shitting on OBJ a few days ago. As soon as it was reality, people switch up quickly. You know what, Dub? There could be some truth to that. That's fair. You know, but then again, first you hear it, it scares you. Like me. Like when I first heard about it, right? And I'm like, I'm on the phone with this person and I'm like, are you out of your minds? What are you guys doing? And then, you know, then you start gathering information and you're like, well, yeah, no, he hasn't really been a problem the last couple of years. Yeah, it's just a complimentary thing. Yeah, it's not a big salary. You know, okay. And then I started thinking about formations and how you can move him to the outside and Waddle inside because you cannot put Odell inside. You know, that's not really what you should do with Odell Beckham. That's not, you know, he's not physical enough. Waddle can do it. So you can move him outside and then have all those quick twitch guys for Tua. It makes sense, man. It makes a lot of sense. It really does. So I wasn't big on it either. Right when I heard it, I was like, oh, because you'll never hear me praise that guy. But in this scenario, I see and I watch the games. That's the other thing. So I personally watch Lamar, miss him a bunch of times. And let me tell you something, and I don't know, I think Alf is still there. Alf, if you said you watched the film, right? You clearly watched the film because you mentioned one of the key things, which is Lamar missing him a bunch. There were a couple of times that it looked like Odell was kind of frustrated with some of those bad throws. I don't know if you picked up on his body language on that. Like, it was like, yo, brother, you like missed me here? Like, you know, like, seriously? You know, and I think that took him aback a little bit that he was, you know, because that's the thing that you don't realize about Lamar until you actually play with him or until you actually really watch the games. And that's when you'll see that when push comes to shove and he'll make some throws at times because he's an athlete. So they're going to wow you. But can he consistently make them? No, that's why the great passers can consistently make them. He has no consistency in that sense, you know? So that's why they keep everything kind of in front of him and some crossing patterns. But they don't have him throw the entire route tree because he can't. You know, if he starts throwing that skinny post a bunch, that shit's going to get intercepted. You know, so it's one of those deals where I commend the hell out of John Harbaugh to have the conviction he has to stay with this kind of football. Because nobody would do this. And that's why Lamar, the best thing he did was make sure he stayed there and got that money, because I don't know if anybody else has the determination of John Harbaugh to stay with this, because it fails every time in the playoffs. And, you know, everybody's talking about the whole, and I love Derrick Henry, would have loved him here in Miami, but in the end, you're still going to need somebody to pass, and they're not going to have that guy. So that's the one thing that Odell, there were times where you could tell he was a little frustrated with some of those throws. There's Alf. His 4-catch, 97, 1 TD game versus the Rams, OBJ spent the game making circle catches. He had 10 targets and 0 drops. The chemistry was like Israel and Palestine. You were better off watching the new Avatar. I enjoyed the new Avatar. I'm going to tell you, wow, it was phenomenal. I enjoyed it. Even if the news catches you off guard, if you take a step back and be objective about it, that is respectable. Too many people will stand and die on I take mountain. Yeah, no, that's right. I mean, we all have to be willing to take new information in because it could change your perspective, you know? Right now, 81% are saying if done financially correct, they would you sign OBJ? 81% say yes. 19% say no. Completely shocked. I thought it would go the other way. I thought we would still have the doubters more than anything, which again, I don't blame anybody that doesn't want OBJ. I really don't. I saw something that was a little kind of, I don't know, maybe fake by some people. And this is what's going on with Kobe Bryant and his parents. So apparently the dad is selling the 2000 ring. So a ring gifted from Kobe Bryant to his father, Joe Bryant, is headed for auction. Kobe had won the ring when the Lakers defeated the Pacers in 2000, making the first of 5 championships he will go on to win in his career. After the inaugural victory, Kobe gifted the original to his father and then had a replica made for his mother, Pamela. The original ring, which features a band and a base of 14 karat gold and contains a total of 14 diamonds, is now headed for an upcoming auction hosted by Golden. Centered on basketball memorabilia, Golden's auctions are also include a ring from the 2016 Cavs NBA championship ring. While the ring, while the previous owner of that ring remains anonymous, the championship is widely known as the year LeBron returned to his hometown. There is also several jerseys up for auction. The jersey worn by Kareem Abdul-Jabbar during his final season for the Lakers is up for bids, along with Kevin Durant's 2017 Warriors jersey. Bidding goes until March 30th. Now, I've heard a lot of people rip Kobe's dad. Do you know what he's going through financially? Just wondering, because maybe the man's going through some rough times. Maybe him and the wife, maybe somebody needs a serious surgery. Maybe they want to enjoy the final years of their lives, want to travel. What the hell is that ring going to do? Kobe's not around anymore. You know what I'm saying? Maybe he could give Kobe the ring back if Kobe was still around and Kobe could take care of him or something like that. Maybe that's what would happen if Kobe was around. You know, I know their relationship was rocky, and unfortunately, Kobe's no longer here with us, that maybe there was a time that throughout all this, the relationship could have been repaired. You know what I mean? But I find it very hypocritical of people to be slamming the dude when, man, there's a lot of people going through rough times right now. A lot of people going into their 401ks. A lot of people are putting debt on credit cards. A lot of people. I mean, it's not an easy time for many hardworking people. And, you know, he played basketball in a time where he wasn't the kind of basketball player who was even going to make any money to retire anyway. So I don't know what their situation is. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, it's so disrespectful. I see all these hot takes on television. I'm like, you know, I don't know what someone's personal life is, man. I know this. that ring does nothing. I'm sure they're old already at this point, right? That ring does nothing for them when they're dead. Nothing. Nothing whatsoever. Kobe's no longer around. You know what I mean? Vanessa's got plenty of money. Does she want the ring? Maybe she should make an offer and say, hey, don't sell it. Give it to me. Here's a couple million dollars, what you would have gotten from the, no problem. Is a couple million dollars anything for Vanessa Bryant? No, not at all. She's got hundreds of millions. Right? And she's still making money now, right? Because she has businesses that are still living off the Mamba brand and all that kind of stuff. So she's still able to bring in income from that probably. Okay, so if she's not willing to buy it, I don't know if maybe the old man reached out and said, hey, I got to put it up for auction, this, that. Did anybody know that? Maybe Vanessa and him had a conversation behind the scenes, and maybe he told Vanessa, hey, listen, this is going to happen. I'm sorry. We're having some rough times. She says she understands. That's it. None of us know the entire story. And none of us know what our neighbors are going through, our friends. Sometimes even our own family members will keep stuff away from us. So if they're selling the ring for whatever reason, personal, for to pay something off, or, man, to enjoy their final few years, you know, that's, I don't have a problem with that. I really don't, man. Unfortunately, the way life worked out, Kobe's no longer around. So this is the only way. I just kind of find it very hypocritical and, you know, uncool the way some people are treating the old man in that situation when we really don't have all the info. By the way, what's going on with Bitcoin? We're at 63.6, so it went as low as like 62.8. And so now it's popped back to 63.6. So you might have had a shot to buy it a little lower. And if you did, good for you. Let's see. For Kobe's father to give up a memory that his son gave him, something major has to go on. No judging here. I don't have the information. And again, if you know what, Giovanni, he's at the back end of his career. And if he and I don't know if he's still married or whatever, if he and the wife want to, well, they want to go vacation or whatever. Gotta, I hope Bitcoin hits big so I can take my wife on a couple trips next year. You know, I'm kind of hoping for that. You know, I'm getting on the back end of my life. You know, I'd like to travel a little bit more, enjoy a little bit more, you know, relax a little bit more. You know, I've grinded for a long, 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 long time, dude. You know, so I get it. Any of us that have grinded for a long time, you know what I'm saying, Giovanni? Some of you out there, you know what I'm talking about? You want to get a little bit of a break on the back end, you know? On the back nine of life, you know, you want to get a couple of breaks here or there, and maybe that's what he's going for. I don't blame him. I really don't. Milo says it's no one's business what the family does with their personal items. Too many people think that's, yeah. And you know what it reminds me of? By the way, I don't know how many English folks are watching us from London, or maybe you'll watch it later or whatever. What the hell is wrong with you people and your royal family? Like the whole Kate Middleton thing that she has to go through this whole, dude, whatever she was in the hospital for, screw you people. Leave the woman alone. I don't want to know. Are you fine now? Great. Fantastic. Good for you. Oh, you don't want to share? Great. No problem. Nobody has to share their medical life with you. Okay? Just because my silly ass tells you everything that goes on with me, Achilles or a colonoscopy or stents in my heart or whatever, I tell you everything because I live my life like that. But that... plenty of people want to have their privacy. So they won't tell you about a colonoscopy. You know, they just are private, and you should respect the hell out of that. We did that with that general that we have, that the poor man had some kind of surgery, and we got another. Brother, is he dying? No, he's fine. Okay, great. That's all we need to know. You're fine now. Great. Why do we need to pry into people's medical lives? That should be your choice. And these Brits, dude, now somebody hacked into Middleton's medical records to find, brother, why do you give a shit what kind of surgery she had? Leave the woman alone, dude. The fact that she still had to go through surgery. You know, SoCal sharing what he's doing. He doesn't have to do that. He can just disappear off the map, go have his surgery quietly, then pop back into life a couple weeks later. Oh, no, yeah, no, I was on vacation. I was relaxing. And if he doesn't want to share shit, he doesn't have to share shit. But I don't understand this whole thing. You Brits, dude. And it can't be all of you. You know what I mean? But my Lord, the gossip that you need to know where this woman was and what the everybody is, she the queen or something? Is she running the country or something? No, she's not. Leave the woman alone, bro. She's just a hot royal. Because she is hot, by the way. Hot. I gotta say, Kate Middleton, hot. Hot. Hot, hot, hot. On two. Bump, 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 bump. Let's see. Barry Jackson is a saint. He does great South Florida sports reporting, but gave us in a public service announcement about it day one of Ultra Festival. Avoid downtown at all costs. Obviously, yeah. And if he's stuck covering the heat. God. That is one thing I don't miss, man. I don't miss being a beat reporter. I don't miss it. You know, if I had to do it again, I would do it. Obviously, I'll do any work that I have to do to survive. But I do not miss being a beat reporter. Oh, my God. Being at every game and every practice and every press conference and all. Oh, God, it's so monotonous. It is so. When you did it for, you know, 20-something years, you don't want to do it anymore. I didn't do it for 20-something years. I did it for about 12 to 14 years that I was a beat writer on different beats, mostly Dolphins and mostly Heat. But I did Marlins and I did Panthers also. And obviously Miami Fusion and Inter Miami and all that. Well, not Inter Miami, but Miami Fusion and Strikers and all that other stuff that we've had here. But I don't miss it. God. Being at those games no matter what and being at practices and all, don't miss it at all. You just get to a point where you're kind of like, been there, done it so many times, I am over it. Ocala Joe says, preach, Big O, you're right on the money. After we raise our kids, it's time for us. Yes, man. Yes. Got to have some fun, bro. You know? Royal family, far too much inbreeding, too much chlorine in that gene pool. I'm so tired of hearing about the royals. I know, right? We're here, and it's like, what do we need to hear about that? But I do feel bad for her. Because and I laugh at the Brits that are just... They're so crazy about wanting to know everything about the family. It's just ridiculous, dude. So, you know. Big O, you paid your dues. Yes, I did, my brother. Yes, I did. I overpaid my dues. Rachel Zane, I mean Meghan Markle, is hotter than Kate Middleton. Nah. Nah. I'll take Kate Middleton over Rachel Zane. And Rachel Zane's cute. No doubt about it. But I'll take Kate Middleton. I'm going to take Kate Middleton's body over Rachel's. Yeah. Yep. I'm a Kate Middleton guy. So, I'll edge her over Rachel Zane. Dan says, how is everybody feeling about that video of migrants telling others to take empty houses? Well, guess what you got to do? Jail their asses and kick them back to the country they came from. You know what I really don't like? I'll tell you what I don't like. Like, Mexico says they don't want to take them back. But wait a minute, asshole. You allowed them to walk right through your country to get to ours. And that's where I'm like, F you, bro. So, but hey, the plan was in place. You know, the orangutan killed it. You would have stopped all of that right now. That would have been stopping if they actually would have, there was a deal in place. But, you know, you say you want something, but then when it's there, you don't do it. How stupid and ignorant is that? You know what I mean? But these are the people you want to elect, right? Okay. Oh, hey, Sean, my bad. Send Manny an invite. So we're going to get Manny on right now, sir. Thank you. Thank you. Nico says, I don't miss living in Miami. I enjoyed living there for 30 years, but it's way overcrowded and the traffic is backed up everywhere at every time. Great city to visit, though. Yeah, we're becoming a lot like L.A. without, of course, we don't have the crime that they do and the homelessness that that California has. In fact, kudos to, and I don't give DeSantis kudos, but I'm objective as a mother. I love the new bill that they signed that does not allow you to be camping out in the streets and they get rid of your ass. They're going to create certain areas, and that's fine. And that's what they did. They kind of like, okay, you gotta clean out the streets, but you gotta have a spot for homeless people. And that's what they're going to do. And so I have no problem with that, because you definitely can't allow that shit to happen. What's happening out in the West Coast, in Oregon and Washington and California, that shit is crazy, dude. You cannot, that doesn't go on here, and you cannot allow it. So that's a great law that they passed. You have to do it, unfortunately, bro. Unfortunately, you know, you just can't allow, because then they start taking up neighborhoods and they start putting people at risks. And, you know, and there's dirty shit going on constantly because drug dealing, all kinds of stuff. And then once the general public is at risk, that's when whatever is going on is illegal. Okay. And so good law, because I certainly don't want to see what's going on the West Coast happen here. You know, can't see me living there again. It changed a lot in the past 10 years. Are you talking about Miami? Yeah, it's I get it. The Panama Canal is key to this war. What war? I don't know what you're talking about. What war are you talking about? What war are you for life? Dropping the Goody More Mob Nuggets cap. Oh, Taiwan will be next in several years. But we're already set up, bro. Taiwan's not that's a facade. We protect Taiwan now because we need the chips. We just opened the factory in Arizona. Okay. Biden and the boys just opened up a ginormous factory in Arizona. And I think they're opening up another one to start creating our own computer chips. So by the time China wants to make the move in a couple of years, we already will have our chips in place and working, and we won't need Taiwan anymore because Taiwan's been controlling 80% of the chips in the world. So, yeah, it's there's a lot more to it, bro. You know, it's not that simple, and it's not as complicated as some people make it out to be. We just use them for now, and then down the line, we won't need them anymore. Who's kidding who, bro? You can kind of see what the hell's going on. We just bought time now because we don't have our factories completely kicked in, you know. But now that our factories are going to start getting in and getting online in the next couple of years, and you know, then we can make the decision of, oh, you know, we don't want any world war, you know. So that's all that stuff can be worked out. So I don't think it's as big as some people make it out to be. Big, I'm a longtime subscriber and viewer from Greece. I can't wait to go to Greece one day. All right, let's do it. Manny Navarro's ready with our Canes Wear Miami Hurricanes report.
The viewpoints, statements, or beliefs expressed on the following program by the host, guests, or callers are not necessarily the opinions of FantasyXS.com, Media Group Inc., ownership, management, sponsors, or website. If you're a Miami sports fan, there's only one store to go to, and that's Canes Wear at Miami Fanwear in Davie. They're your one-stop shop for all your inner Miami CF, Canes, Dolphins, Panthers, and Marlins merchandise. They have hats, t-shirts, game day jerseys, and so much more. Located at 2655 South University Drive in Davie, and open 24/7 online at caneswear.com or innermiamiwear.com. Call them at 954-835-5597. Canes Wear, the spot where inner Miami and all Miami sports fans shop. Time for Canes fans to get what they want. Information, insight, and perspective. It's the Canes Wear Miami Hurricanes Report with Manny Navarro. Exclusively on the Big O Radio Show. Here's Big O and insider Manny Navarro.
Yes. Cap for Life, the Netherlands are the ones that make the elite chips, actually, by the way. So, yeah, they got like a hook on the entire world because they make the best ones, actually. But, yes. How you doing, my brother? You doing good?
Doing good, man. Visiting my parents up here in St. Augustine, hanging out with them for the weekend. So, you know, anytime you can get the grandchildren with the grandparents, it's a good thing.
And remember what I always tell you when you go there, stay away from the fucking Fountain of Youth, okay? All right? That shit is piss water. Anyway, yeah. So, and that's a warning for all of you. If you go to St. Augustine and then they show you the Fountain of Youth and then they got a little cup and you want to... No,
don't drink it.
That, no, it's all good. No, I'm not interested. Not interested. Okay? Because that pipe is connected to Mexico. I'm just telling you. All right. All right. So, anyways, there ain't no Fountain of Youth there. You'll be a fountain of exorcist all over the place. That's what you're gonna be. So let me ask you something, because I know we talk football all the time, and I'm gonna kind of relate it to football, but I'm gonna start with basketball. Mm-hmm. And she'll never say it because she's, you know, class to like the utmost level there is. And mm-hmm. we're talking about Katie Meyer, who just retired. Right. And dude, it's all over the place. You know, she had to deal with it the year before with the Cavender twins. Mm-hmm. And so, and now, you know, they're already transferring out. And so, and it was a bad year. I wonder, she wouldn't say it, but this new NIL college sports, if you're an established coach for many, many years now and you've been doing it the other way, mm-hmm. this is such a drastic change. You know, Saban can say it because of where he was at and what he accomplished and all that shit. And whether you like Saban or not, you can't disagree with what he was talking about, actually. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Even though they've been paying people for years in different ways, but mm-hmm. now it's so open that it can be used against you. You know what I mean? And so I wonder, you know, we can only speculate, but I wonder how much of that really had to do with Katie's decision that, like, man, this game has changed. This doesn't really. And in her case, there's a little bit more about love for the game and all that, because the NIL money isn't nearly as crazy there as it is on the men's side in football. You know what I'm saying? But still, it has changed the game. And I wonder how much that has affected her decision.
That's a great question. Oh, you know, I haven't had a chance to talk to Katie myself and, you know, sort of a one-on-one thing to get an idea of why it is that she really felt the need to do this now at age 56. But I think for a lot of the coaches who have been at this for a long time, like she has, she's, you know, spent her first 4 years at Charlotte before spending the last 19 at Miami as a coach. It has changed drastically, right? What matters in recruiting, and when you are trying to talk about building a program, when you're talking about, hey, come and invest time here, we're going to make you a better player. And then the player turns around and says, well, how much are you going to pay me? It really changes the entire emphasis of it all. And I remember, you know, talking to Channing Crowder and a lot of other, you know, guys who played for Saban over the years. And they're like, look, there's a reason he went to college. He didn't want to deal with the financial side of this. He didn't want to deal with having to pay players and, you know, deal with guys who weren't about the game itself, right? Who weren't about how do I become a better player? And I agree. I think a lot of the older coaches in today's game are ultimately taking a look at this whole situation with NIL and saying, man, is this what I got into this for, right? To deal with salary cap, right? Or deal with how much money I can spend to get a player to come to me. It's just not a pleasurable experience. And so I don't know, again, I don't know that that's necessarily Katie's case. I haven't spoken to her, but I think certainly for a lot of coaches, it is a factor in why a lot of guys and women are deciding that, hey, you know what? I've coached a long time. I don't enjoy this part of it. I'm going to move on.
I don't think Jim Larrañaga enjoys this part of it either.
No.
That speech he had at the end.
Right.
Oh, and so I, again, another guy that's been at it for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And so he did it the other way for a long time. And by the way, this is a guy that's probably used to not paying people like Calipari, right, or allegedly or whatever, like they mm-hmm. do at other schools that they,
right.
He, George Mason at UM, you're not buying players, bro. And it's just, you know, you're not Kentucky, North Carolina, and Duke and all that probably you can do some other things behind the scenes that, you know, you normally can't. So I wonder how much time, because I think that's going to suck the passion out of Jim Larrañaga too, that the way he talked about it at the end of the year, it was more, you know, he clearly expressed how it's all about the person and not about the team anymore.
Yeah, it's what your core beliefs are as a coach, why you got into it. And all these people ultimately had a decision to make, right? Do I want to go and spend all the hours recruiting? Because that's really what it is, the difference between college and the NFL. Do I want to spend all this time recruiting, investing all this energy, going to AAU tournaments on the basketball circuit? Do I want to spend all this time when in the end, it's not about player development anymore. It's about how much can you pay me? And right. So it completely changed the dynamic of what it is that you're doing it for, right? It's becoming professional sports for a lot of these guys.
Or
so
playing time, right? Or if I'm or not playing,
right, what can you do for me to help me? Right.
More money. Yeah, exactly. Right.
Right. And I think the other part of it too, that probably isn't talked about enough, is I think the arrogance on the other side of it, because I think so many people are getting paid now because of NIL, because the boosters are directly involved now, because there's no fear anymore of getting caught and getting in trouble that, a lot of players think, well, I'm worth this, right? Like I they're going to pay me this much at the school. That means I'm worth it. And then they get to college and they don't really develop, or they don't get any better, or they struggle. And now it's the coach's fault. Well, he's not doing what he's supposed to do because clearly I'm making X amount of money. So I must be good. They paid me this. I must be good. So that's what's being lost and all that. And I think, you know, you can look at the NFL and the NBA as examples of how this happens with young people, right? When people leave early for the NFL draft, or they leave early, you know, to get into the NBA draft after 1 year in college or 1 year's overseas, and all of a sudden they come back and you're like, man, that's a talented player. Why didn't they work out? Why did they fizzle out? Maybe they just didn't have the maturity to deal with being told by the coach or the team that you know was working with them or drafted them or whatever the case is, that hey, you need time to develop. You need time to grow as a person before you can really become an excellent pro. And so now you're dealing with 18 and 19 year olds, right? Dealing with that. Hey, I'm making money. I must be good. You guys paid me to come here. Right. So there's a sense of entitlement, a sense of that wasn't there before. It really wasn't. Maybe for a select few it was. As you said, you know, the SEC and some other schools have been doing this for a long time. Maybe there was a sense of entitlement, but it's not to the extent now where everyone in your locker room has a sense of entitlement. I'm here. I must be paid. I'm getting paid. That means I must be good. It's your fault now as a coach that I'm not excelling the way that I should. So that's a part that just is not enjoyable, I think, for a lot of people in this profession. And ultimately, I'm very interested to see how many people stick around the college game now the way it is. I think at some point it has to change because it's a much tougher job. And to me, it's a much tougher job being a college coach than it is a professional coach.
Oh, hell yeah. And then, so here's the dynamics that I wanted to get into. Mm-hmm. So now we turn to Mario.
Yeah.
Who lives it and attacks it and is not fazed by it. And that's because now we have the different generational coach. Mm-hmm. Instead of he's not a grizzled coach that did it the old way for 15, 20, 30 years. And then all of a sudden now this whole shit has changed on him.
Right.
That happened to Katie and that happened to Jim. To him, he just grew up in this era because it really started for him in Oregon. Let's just
I would say in Alabama, really, in Alabama when he was good assistant there.
But I'm saying as a head coach carrying the whole burden of it. So he had his years in Oregon, now here. So he's young enough that he's grown with the system that just changed and wasn't really jaded enough to have lived, you know, kind of like I am. Like I lived 90s radio in very early 2000s,
right,
where the money was flowing. Flowing.
Yes, brother.
They don't make shit now, bro. I'm telling you, they don't make jack now. So, you know, and so you get jaded because you're like, yo, bro, things used to be a lot better. And the system and the way we used to have small companies that owned all kinds of radio stations. So then a lot of competition, a lot of jobs, you know, money was flowing.
Yeah.
We got four companies buying all the stations. That's it. They screwed everything up. You know what I'm saying? Monopoly. Yeah. So it's interesting, the dynamics now, how the only way really you're going to survive in today's game is really you have to be a young coach that understands what you're in and you're kind of, you know, you can live with it, but older coaches are the ones that are just going to die by the wayside because they just hate this system now. Kind of like I hate radio.
Yeah. It's funny. I had this conversation with my editor, Walter V, a couple days ago, but there is an advantage to having Mario here. Number one,
like, used to pay at newspapers. Was that the
exactly right before he had to leave the newspaper game and go and freelance and write for 8 different websites so he can make enough money to survive. But we had this conversation and I said to him, I said, what makes Mario unique in a lot of ways from other coaches is Miami is his home. So there's a different level of I'm going to fight to make sure this gets right. Right. Like, yeah. If Mario goes to an alumni meeting and Miami's football continues to suck, right, and it doesn't get better under him, he's got the pressure from all of his ex-teammates who are going to be yelling and screaming at him saying, man, how could you let this happen to the program, right? There's an ulterior motive besides the money, besides everything else. Point. He has to get it. Like, for him, there's that internalized pressure. I got to get this right because he played at Miami, because he went to Miami, because he won championships in Miami. For other coaches in this profession, they take a job at a school that they are just making a bunch of money at, but didn't go to, don't have any real emotional ties to. They're mercenaries. So it's a different mentality. They're not going to go maybe as hard because they'll say to themselves, you know what? It didn't work out here. I got fired. I got to go somewhere else. You know, or hey, I made them a little better. Now I'm leaving. I'm jumping. I'm taking off to another place. So again, the whole dynamic of college coaching, it's fascinating to see what's going to happen as this thing evolves. Because like you said, a lot of them, what they got into it for, I don't think it's the same anymore by any stretch of the imagination. And so hiring, firing, those kind of decisions to me are going to be interesting. Like if you're a guy like Dan Radakovich, and I know there's a lot of Miami fans that want to see Miami win, Mario Cristobal's got a 10-year contract, right? He's in year 3 of that 10-year contract for $80 million. You know he's working his ass off to get this thing right. You know that he's recruiting his ass off and doing everything possible. Yeah. You know, in 2 or 3 years, are you going to fire him if Miami still isn't at 10 or 11 wins or doesn't make a playoff? Or do you say, man, who are we going to get? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, is there really anybody out there who's going to give as much as he is trying to get this right? So I think those are the kind of decisions athletic directors and athletic departments are going to have to make in the years to come, is do I have somebody who really loves this program, is willing to give, to go all out the way I need them to?
Yeah. And that is, I don't know if you'll ever get anybody that will fight like that guy. That's for sure. And he does care, but it's an interesting dynamic. And I think we're going to see a wave of new coaches here in the next couple of years. It's already started. You know, look at Chip Kelly. He was like, no way, dude. And he was in Oregon for a while too, but so he did it the old way and he was like, I'm done. I'm just, you know, well, I'd rather be a coordinator instead. So I carry less of the burden and shit. This is what's going to end up happening, dude. A lot of these guys are going to say, I don't need this. And really in the end, it's what you just kind of hinted in a way. The energy you need nowadays for this is a lot more than you did in the past because have to maintain throughout and you have to be a psychologist year round and all this. So it takes a younger person in order to do this.
It takes somebody who has ulterior reasons beyond money to want to do this job now. Like, you really have to love it, in my mind. And it can't just be, hey, I want to help kids get better. Hey, it has to be, I really love this program. Because if you're going to deal with the amount of crap you have to deal with now, with players talking about money and raising money and getting paid and just all of that comes into it now, you have to love it for more than just the contract. And I think, like you said, like this whole thing with Chip Kelly and just going to becoming a coordinator, I think that's the wave of the future now. And with the Big Ten and SEC having all of that TV money, how many head coaches that are in the ACC or Big 12 or whatever conferences are left after the smoke settles here say, you know what, I don't need to be a head coach and play from behind the entire time. I'm going to go be a coordinator at a Big Ten or an SEC school and just coach and not have to worry about all the crap. I think we're going to see a lot of that happening.
Anything new in recruiting?
They've got a lot of people visiting. Jamie French, who's a five-star receiver, one of the best in the country. He's a former Alabama commitment, 2025. He's among the kids, I think, visiting this weekend. We're going to start to see a wave of commitments, I think, here over the next few weeks in college football, because this is the time when all the players start coming down for spring visits and, you know, locking in official visits in the summer. And so you start to see guys say, well, you know what, I'm going to jump on this. I'm going to commit now. I'll go through my visits and then I'll make a final decision. So it's just the way recruiting is now. It's silly. I call it silly season, O, because it's like these commitments mean nothing, but kids want to do them. They want to have their moment in the sun. And sometimes they want to have it 2 and 3 times. You know, hey, look, I committed. Everybody's excited. I committed to Miami or I committed to Alabama. But you know what? I'm going to still take my visits. And then I'm going to decommit, and then I'm going to build up the drama for, you know, National Signing Day in December. So it is what it is. It's silly season. But a lot of players, again, Miami fans never need to worry about recruiting, because Mario and the NIL system that they have built, they're going to pay guys, A, which is the most important part now, and B, they're going to recruit the crap out of them, which is just as important to me that Mario cares and pursues these guys as hard as he does. So. But in the end, these kids are going to see what happens this year. This is a very important year. Year three, you got Cam Ward. You've got some you know, big time guys here that I think are NFL caliber players. This is a year that Miami has to be better on the field. So they will watch that. And I think ultimately that'll decide how good this next recruiting class is in December.
Any of this noise with the ACC and Clemson and Florida State and anything, you know, nothing, right? This is all smoke screens and BS.
Well, it's just trying. What it is schools trying different ways to get out of the grant of rights, right? It's, hey, can we take it to court? And we're trying 3 or 4 different ways to say, can we get out of this if we can get an invite to the Big Ten?
Isn't this the ironclad thing that every conference has that nobody's been able to ever get out of?
That's 100% correct. But you know what? It only takes one judge, right, to ultimately – open the door, as we saw what happened with NIL, right? The people in Virginia and Tennessee fought to change the NIL rules and the transfer rules. And so who knows what's going to happen anymore? I think if you're Clemson and you're Florida State and you're looking at the future, those are different programs in Miami. Miami has a lot of private, big-time donors and money. SMU has a lot of private, big-time. They're in major cities. Tallahassee and Clemson, South Carolina, they don't have the same kind of money around those programs. So they look at the game differently. They look at it like, man, we better get to the SEC. We better get to the Big Ten, or we're going to fall way behind and we may never catch up. Whereas I think Miami is in a different financial position, the same way SMU is in a different financial position, where they can say, you know what, ACC, you don't even need to pay us. We got all the oil money we need right here. And all these billionaires in the city of Dallas that love our program, that came to SMU, that want to see us win, you know, they'll carry us financially. But I think Florida State and Clemson are in a different boat. And I think a lot of other ACC schools are in a different boat. So, you know, that's why Miami isn't speaking up right now. That's why Dan Radakovich and a lot of other people are just sort of watching to see what happens here. But
He was on with Joe this week, and mm-hmm. he took the most PR approach I have.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. PC approach that he could possibly take. He didn't want to ruffle any feathers. And he was making it sound like, yeah, everything's hunky dory, bro. We love everything about the ACC and everything. Mm-hmm. Which, come on, bro.
Well, listen, the reality is this. Miami is in a situation, again, where financially, I know people think I'm crazy when I'm saying this, to be $30 or $40 million behind every single year is not where any school wants to be. But again, there's a different backing here. So Miami looks at it as, hey, we're still in a Power Four conference school. Yes, people are talking about a Power Two, but they look at it as, hey, we can make money. We can win the ACC. We can be the dominant program in this league. And if we have to move to the Big Ten or the SEC, we will. But Miami feels very confident in what they have going right now. So there's not the same sense of desperation as these other schools have.
Yeah, big time. All right, what do you got going on in the athletics so folks can check you out, my man?
Well, like I said, I was working on those All-State projects, picking the All-State teams and recruiting since 2002. So that'll be a fun thing that hopefully comes out here over the next few weeks. You know, they told me, I asked my editor, I said, hey, what do you want me to do these things? He goes, hey, man, it's big time March Madness. All anybody cares about right now are their brackets and watching basketball. So unfortunately, no Miami teams in either of the tournaments, right? Katie Meyer's team got screwed, even though they won 19 games.
FIU made it to the NIT, the women's.
Yeah, FIU, congratulations to them, right? Making the women's.
And Nova is in the oh, yeah. Elite. Okay.
Yes, so in the Division II, right?
Yeah, Tuesday they take on Southern New Hampshire University at 3:30. So good mm-hmm. luck to Nova. We got to give
64. What is it? 64 straight home wins or something like that for that Nova basketball program? Something crazy.
Yeah. Lost this year, they lost them both on the road.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So tremendous job by that coaching staff over there, man, to you know, no excuses, keep it going after flipping their whole roster too. I think that they lost all their players, so
Coach Fields did an excellent job there, dude. He's some serious ass. All right, follow him on Twitter at Manny_Navarro and catch his work there at The Athletic. Manny, as always, thank you, my brother, appreciate you. Have a great weekend.
You too, brother, take care.
Thank you, sir. There you go. And go to Caneswear. Use our code BIGO10. You will get 10% off if you go live in person. But if you go online at caneswear.com, you will also get 10% off. And if you order over $99, they will give you free shipping. Okay? Jeff and the folks, they ship right away. So you put it in, you'll get it right away. They got anything and everything practically with a Canes logo on it. Dolphins, Marlins, Panthers, Heat, Inter Miami gear. Check it out. Caneswear.com.